Turn to a couple places, 1 Thessalonians and then Philippians 4. And just a couple things that we got to go over where as a family and as a church, we do go through things together. And when family hurts, we hurt with family. The Bible says you rejoice with those who rejoice and you weep with those who weep. And we have families in our church that in a season of weeping, and we weep with them from a family that's connected to this church, not coming to the church, but a part of it through other family members. Here is the Beeler family. We know them through soccer fields. We know them through the McGraws. Their daughter, Sarah Beeler, had an accident off a horse, and she fell off the horse and banged her head really hard and has had some brain damage. Unfortunately, a false report has come forward that she has passed away. That's not true. She has no activity at this point in her brain. As a teenager, how do you even fathom that as a parent, right? And the report of her passing is not true. But we are praying that God can do all things. He created the brain, and he can make sparks again when necessary. Man, God is a great God who can do all things. So we're praying for that family. And they are friends of this church, which is great. And then you know we have the Weaver family. They are missionaries of Believer's Chapel. They are missionaries here locally and do a great work locally, and we support them financially as missionaries, and their whole family is a big part of Believer's Chapel and serving in so many areas. And our man Levi, who, as you have been aware, got into an accident that caused him a broken back as a teenager, like just a young man who's a very active young man, broke 3 and 4 vertebrae, the number 3 and 4 vertebrae. Weight took him out of place, nerves and just all kind of stuff, and mercy flighted out, and they put rods in his back and broke his ankle, which is kind of small potatoes compared to your back being broken. And just, you know, we went up and visited him and just spent some time with the family. And just as you can imagine, we got to preach, but you got to get this, because when you understand that life at times is just so fragile. And what's the difference of today to tomorrow? It can be a life-changing difference, church. I mean, a family who are just hurting right now and who are broken. And we as a church, we support them and we upped their support just to help them with hotels and food and doing whatever. That's because we're a church who we're blessed financially to be able to do what we're doing. And we love this family. And they're a part of this church. Man, we just want to pray for them. And Grace was in the first service. I think David and Zach are here in this service. And we just surround this family as a family. They serve this church in so many. They're just their hands and feet everywhere, man. It's amazing. And we just want to cover them. We did it in the first service. But because David and Zach are here, man, and you as a family, we're going to believe that God can do all things, man. There's nothing God can't do. And we're praying for faith to be increased and strengthened. We're praying for the peace of God to come in that is way past any type of understanding of how we stay like this in the midst of chaos and crazy and hurt and pain. We also believe that God can heal. And we thank God for the head surgeon being on, and what a great idea that was for God to have him in place when he came flying in through the helicopter. And I think he probably wanted to drive the helicopter or fly the helicopter, but they wouldn't let him. You know, no, young man, you can't fly this thing today, right? But we surround this family, so let's just pray. And let's just, if you're married, grab the hands of the person next to you, and you just, if you're a friend, grab a hand. I don't want any strangers to get all weirded out. We rarely do the whole, hey, let's grab hands, but let's do it today. And if you're, I don't know where my two men are, where's David and Zach? Are they here? I don't know where they're at, but we're coming in this service. So let's just, okay, cool. Somebody get to them, please. And just lay hands on them, too. God, you've heard our cry. We know that you hear us right now. You lean in, you hear us. God, they're our family, but you're aware of this. You've been aware of this. You've seen this. You know all about it more than us. You saw it coming before we could ever see it coming. Because you're God who goes before us. And God, we love this family, and Levi is just a young man who's so vibrant and so active, and he loves you. And we thank you for him and his heart towards you. But God, we just ask that you would do a work physically in his body. And God, that you would heal his body. And God, this back would be as strong as ever, that he would not lose an inch, not an inch of the life that's in this young man. Father, we ask that your will be done in this. Father, we pray over David and Zachary, God, as they sit in this service right now, God, we pray over them that their faith would be increased, that they would be strong in you, they would look to you, you would become so real to them in the midst of tragedy, God, that they would not lose their praise. And God, they would come to this place to have a peace in them, to know, God, you've got this, we gave this to you at Seek, they were here at Seek, and they said, God, the month belongs to you, and then all of a sudden, the month takes a turn. God, you knew all about this, and we walk by faith and not by sight. We trust you. No matter what takes place, God, we trust you. Be with Tim and Susan as they cover one another, as they cover Levi, as they spent so much time there, God, and to continue to just pray over him, God, that you would see our faith and you would respond in a way, God, that we would just continually be amazed at your grace and your love for your creation. You created his back. God, you can fix his back. And nothing difficult for you. And Father, we lift up the Beeler family based off of friends of this family, God, and as they sit in hospital and they just watch and pray, God, that you would work miraculously within her little body, God. And that you would minister grace to her body and that you would heal her body. That her parents would walk in a sense of faith looking to you. In Jesus' name, amen. Come on, church, right? We got to preach. But family is family. We hurt with family. You know, Psalm 121, I've just been soaking this up for a couple months and just, you know, I lift my eyes up to the mountains. From where does my help come? I love it. David answers his own question. My help comes from the maker of the heavens and the earth. And that's where our help always has to come from. Because the maker of the heavens and the earth, God himself, can do a work in us. And we trust that's true. Come on. Man, I really have short time, but we're going to buckle up and go through this. You're never supposed to start a message that way, by the way, but we break all the preaching rules here often. Just so you know, read all the communication books and you're like, really? Ooh, ouch. Ah, ooh, that hurt. No, I don't do that. Oh, yep, I do that. That's anyways. But you seem to come back, and I'm so thankful for that. So come on, 1 Thessalonians says this. And we start a new series today. We're going to spend our time for a few weeks. Probably 4 or 5 weeks on this. And because I think it's such a reality to life, is live simply. What does it mean to have a content life? Like as we sit here this morning, can I ask you a serious question? Like as you sit here in any season of life that you're in, you might be in the highest of high, man. You might be in the valley. You might be right somewhere in between. Can I ask you a serious question? Are you content this morning? Are you okay? Are you going through life going, man, I'm okay. I've been here and I've been here. But you know what? In all of that, as Paul says in Philippians 4, we'll get there, he says, I have learned. So you got to understand something. Contentment is something that's learned. Contentment comes through giving. Contentment comes through trusting. Contentment comes going, my source is Christ. That's my source. That's learned. You don't have to learn to be self-centered. You just naturally are self-centered. Life revolves around you, period. That's natural. But when you learn what contentment means, when you learn in the word contentment, it simply means to be satisfied. I'm good, no matter if I have, no matter if I have not, no matter if I'm walking through tragedy, no matter if I'm walking in a place of rest and peace, whether it's in crazy chaos, this is what I know, is because of Christ, I'm good. That's contentment, church. And that's a learned trait of faith, to know what it is to walk in contentment, whether good or bad, up or down, have or have not. We learn to be content. And this is a key to life. And when we get this key, I got 20 minutes, man. If we get this key in 20 minutes, and we're going to continue this for several weeks to know what it really looks like to live simply. Right? 1 Thessalonians 4 says this. Let's look at this. Lord, bless this word and help us to hear it. In Jesus' name, amen. Verse 9, and I love this because I see Believer's Chapel in this, because this is, Paul's writing this to the church at Thessalonica. He's writing this to a group of body believers similar to Believer's Chapel. It was a local church. It was the assembly of people who love Jesus. This is what we are, and this is what he writes to them. Watch this now. This is so good. Verse 9, now as to, this is what he speaks to. He like changes course and says this. Now as to, I want to touch on this, he says, the love of the brethren. Now as to the love of the brethren, you have no need for anyone to write to you, for you yourselves are taught by God to love one another. For indeed, you do practice it toward all the brethren who are in Macedonia. He's saying this. Listen, as regards to your church and your community, he says you kind of got this thing down. As to what it is to really love one another, listen, you've learned from God on that. You've got that. You're doing great at that. This is what he says. For indeed, you do practice that. He's like, yes, you got that, man. You are toward one another. What is to be toward each other and for each other? That's church. That's community. Be towards one another and for one another. He says, this is what you practice, the love you have for one another, who are in all Macedonia. But we urge you, brethren, to excel still more. He says, listen, I know that in your community you got it, and I love what I see because you practice it. But this is what I want. I think there's more in you. This is what Paul's saying. I think you can excel still more. Matter of fact, he says, we urge you, which means we beg you. We beg, Church of Thessalonica, people who come together, people who assemble. Listen, you've got it down for yourself of what it is to love one another. You've got that, and that's great. But I think you got more in you. But I think you can excel still more. You know what he's saying? He says, I think you can go wider. And listen, you know, if you've been in church very long here at BC, you know that we are regionally mindset. Man, we want to win this region in the name of Jesus Christ. We want to see a region of people come together in a house and come to this place here locally at Believer's Chapel to give God the worship and the due that he gets because he is God, all-powerful creator, because he would send his son, Jesus Christ, to die on the cross for us. And we want a region of people to give God the honor that's due his name and worship. And I think we as a church, I mean, you look around, man, it is July, it is summertime. First service was very well attended. Second service for July is very well attended. You're thinking, Sean, I don't know how we are in summer attendance right now, and we're really kind of really, it's full. Like, what do you mean go wider? I mean, we have an understanding of what it means to say, God, I think we have what's going on at Believer's Chapel. It's wonderful and amazing, and it is such an honor and a privilege to really lead this church. And I think we walk in a sense of loving one another, and it's stunning, church. It's amazing. But I read this passage, and I think, man, I think that we can still excel more. Because we have it within our own community, but what is it to go wider? And watch what he says. Watch what he says here, verse 11. And to make it your ambition. And to make it an ambition, it means passion. It kind of means oomph, right? Everybody say oomph. Okay, you guys are not on the worship team. Let's do that together, right? Let's do that together on a count of three. Everybody, listen, make it your ambition. Make it your oomph. Like, put heart into what he's about to say. Make it your ambition. Everybody say oomph. Oh, that was good. That was good. He says, make it your oomph. Watch now. To lead a quiet life. To attend to your own business. Boy, I love that one. To attend to your own business. You know what that means? Mind your own business. You know what that means? Don't meddle in the affairs not concerning you. You know what that means? And gossip before it starts. You know what that means? Stop slandering about the brothers, because God hates. He hates strife among the brethren. You know what that means? Live a quiet life. Be within your own business. And I know that's tough with our social media today. And listen, I'm not anti-social media. Church uses Facebook. It's an amazing tool to get the gospel out to the world. It's an amazing tool that who knows how many, 1,000, whatever, get to watch a service. Every time that we get to preach, people come on and they watch it. And I love it, and it's awesome. But it also can be used as the compare game. It also can be used of what so-and-so is up. It also can be used where I can't believe she did not like my photo. And you laugh because you know you're bummed when someone doesn't like you. I liked her stuff, and she said, man, this is my child, and I liked her child's photo, but she ain't going to like my child. My goodness, people, you're a grown adult, and you give a rip about a little heart that someone liked you or didn't like you. It's real. And you come to this place, honestly, I'm one, not so much, not Carter at all. My man's 20. He's a young man. But when it comes to Ethan, still Olivia, I check their stuff all the time because I'm a parent like that. They know it. It's no surprise getting in front of them, and I'm checking. And then honestly, like, no, don't tap that picture twice because that means you like it. I'm like, okay, I won't do that. I mean, it's just like, but honestly, what happens when you come to a place to say, I want to live a quiet life? That means even in the midst of chaos, I can have quiet. Even in the midst when everything's up and down, even in the midst of tragedy, I can still walk in peace and have a quiet life. This is what I can do, even in the midst of chaos. Listen, if we are just so busy, and we are just so busy, and we are just so busy, and then we add more to our plate, and we add more to our plate, and we add more to our plate, and then, you know, someone says, well, do you have a quiet life? You're like, "Puh, quiet, opposite of quiet." But it's funny because actually the Bible says we're supposed to live a quiet life. And we're supposed to mind our own business. Proverbs 26:17 says, listen, don't grab a dog by its ears because it's like those who meddle in affairs not belonging to them. And that just simply means mind your own business. Don't you know that it does you a lot better when you don't get in everyone else's junk and you don't insert yourself in everyone else's business when you're not asked? Don't you know it goes better for you then? Live a quiet life. Watch this now. Attend to your own business and work with your hands just as we commanded you. What leads to a quiet life? What does it lead to walking in that place of being content? What does it lead to walk in that place to know I'm going to live a quiet life? I'm going to attend to my own business. I'm going to work with my hands just as we commanded you so that you will, watch this, behave towards outsiders and not be in any need. Isn't it amazing that, and I want to give you some financial peace to this church. This is how we run our benevolence and how we give money out to those who are struggling and those who are hurting. Church, hear this, please. The Bible does say you don't work, you don't eat. Put that on social services. See how that goes for you. Right? No, seriously. How screwed up we are. In this church, we give to those who are struggling, to those who are poor, to those who are working poor, who are doing everything they can to make ends meet, and those who have gone through tragedy, those who are struggling, those are the ones that this church and our benevolence and your giving, we give to the poor. We give to missions overseas, to the third world, to those who really have not. And you come to a place, this church refuses, and we've had to refuse to the lazy. Well, you ain't worked in over a year. Why? I don't know. You come to the wrong door, dude. I don't know what to tell you. Why? Because to live a content, satisfied life, there's work involved in that. And God is 100% for the poor, as we are. And God is not for the lazy. And neither are we. Because work brings a contentment and a satisfaction. This is what it says. Now watch this. Come on, flip with me to Philippians 4, please. We got to cruise. Wow. We will finish this opening message next week. So don't miss it. Come on. Philippians 4, this is Paul. He also wrote Thessalonians, but he's writing Philippians 4, and he's writing it. Watch this now. When you understand the context of this, he's writing it from prison. So you have the writer of this is Paul, but you have the author who is God. And isn't it amazing, watch this, that he chose to choose Paul out of all the people of all eternity. He chose Paul to write half the books of the New Testament so that you and I could understand that God is the authority of Scripture. Paul is the one writing it with a pen in his hand, but God's the author. He chooses Paul in Paul's life to make a serious, serious point today. If we would plug into this point, we walk out this place different. If we plug into this point that Paul's about to make by his writing, by the author who is God, by his Spirit, that we come to this place to say, man, I need to know that point. I need to walk in that way as Paul did. Because when you come to a place to say, listen, I can't do that. I don't know if anybody can do that. And amazing that God says, yeah, actually, well, Paul actually wrote what it was to be content from a prison cell. Paul actually wrote what it was to have everything, to have the whole world, and then to lose it all and to have nothing. And yet Paul still found himself to be content. Isn't it amazing that when you have or you have not, that's not a level of your contentment? Isn't it sad that our contentment has something to do with our finances? Well, you must be really satisfied in life because you have all of this. Well, it doesn't take much of a search for Hollywood or athletics to see those who have a ton of money who are taking their life rapidly because they have no contentment in life. So it's not, please, please don't think for a moment that your financial position equals contentment. Watch this. This is what he says in verse 7. Let's go to verse 9. Verse 9, because we got to cruise. The things that you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, practice these things. So I love, Paul just gets to the point. Listen, you know me. You've seen what I do. You can do what I do. As a matter of fact, I want you to do what I do. You can't tell me that you can't do it. That's what Paul's saying. And he's writing this to us. He's writing this to the local church. He's writing this to the believer. But he said, listen, watch me, see what I've done, and you know what? Do more than that, practice it so you can do what I've done. So we listen, when God removes excuse, guess what you have? No excuse. You can't come to a place and say, well, that's just Paul. He's a superhero of faith. Actually, Paul says, I'm the chief of sinners and I'm a mess. I'm just an ordinary dude. But I believe in the God in me, and this is, watch this, here he goes. Practice these things, and the God of peace will be with you. But I rejoiced in the Lord greatly. Come on, I got a couple of minutes, I want you to see this. But I rejoiced in the Lord greatly. And he's writing this from prison. That now at last you have revived your concern for me. Indeed, you were concerned before, but you lacked opportunity. Not that I speak from want, for I have learned. Watch this now. I have learned to be content. And the word content, it means to be satisfied. In whatever circumstance I am. Do you see that he's talking about seasons of life here? I know how to get along with humble means. I know how to live in prosperity. And in every circumstance, he's talking about seasons of life. He's talking about circumstances. In every circumstance, here it is again. I have learned the secret of being filled and going hungry, both having abundance and suffering need. He says, I have been there, done that on both scales. I've had it all, I've lost it all, and I've been everywhere in between. But this is what I've learned. Listen, I've learned to be content. I've learned to be satisfied with everything. I've learned to be satisfied with nothing. Now watch this. But he says, I have rejoiced in the Lord greatly. You know what I love about this, which I get from this, is he says, listen, when you have everything, remember to rejoice. When you've lost it all, remember to rejoice in the Lord. Man, I can't do that. Yes, you can. Because Paul's saying, listen, you've seen it in me. You've learned it from me. Practice this. I have it all, and I greatly rejoice in the Lord. I've lost it all, and I greatly rejoice in the Lord. I've come to understand what it means to be content in every circumstance. And I love what he says. That your contentment is not based season of life. Because he says something in Philippians 4:13, which is unfortunately a coffee mug verse. which unfortunately has become a bestseller bumper sticker. He says, this is what I've learned. And please don't miss the context of this, because he's talking about the seasons of life. I've learned what it is to be humble. I've learned what it is to live in prosperity. I've learned what it is to have it all and lose it all. And he writes this from prison, church. But this is what I've learned. Verse 13, probably on a coffee mug or maybe your bumper sticker, says this: I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. You know where we falsely use this? Come on, Sammy, hit the ball. You can do all things through Christ. No, he's a terrible baseball player. He's not going to hit a home run. You can't do that. All things through Christ isn't meaning your athletic ability. It doesn't mean Junior's going to hit a home run. Junior strikes out every time. If he hits a home run, it's completely luck and has nothing to do with doing all things through Christ. Church, listen, you got to get this. And I'm being very real about this, because we can so misuse this verse that when Junior doesn't hit a home run, that verse didn't work for me. I read it out of a cup that God can do all things, or I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. It's not talking about you hitting a home run. It's talking about your season of life, no matter where you're at, in all circumstances, here, and everything in between. You can walk in this place to be at peace. You can walk in this place to be at rest. You can walk in this place to have a quiet life. You can walk in this place to say, I am satisfied, man. I am content in every circumstance. Why? Because I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And when you get that, church, when you come home, when you understand, this isn't about Junior hitting a home run. This isn't about your coffee mug verses. This is a real deal deep thing. When you come to a place, say, in my most broken place, I can do all things through Christ. Try to substitute Christ. I can do all things through Renee who strengthens me. That doesn't work. I can do all things through a pay raise because it strengthens me. Doesn't work. If you're relying on your pay raise, it could be gone tomorrow. As much as I love Renee, as much as Renee loves me, we understand I could be gone tomorrow. Again, the fragile part of everyday, church. What happens when you really buy into the biblical truth that you don't know tomorrow? And life is fragile. And if you put all your weight in a good marriage, and you put all your weight in your bank account, you put all your weight in your personal friendships and relationships, if you really try to substitute, and we have done that, I can do all things through my marriage who strengthens me. I can do all things on a good, healthy bank account because it strengthens me. I can do all things because I have a friend that I can lean on and it strengthens me. It just doesn't fit. But I can do all things through Christ. And even in my brokenness, and even when my life is shattering all around, because Christ strengthens me, I can be steady. And yes, we have marriage that picks us up when we're down. And yes, we have relationships and friendships that when we're going through a season, man, we lean on these people and we hurt when they hurt and we rejoice when they rejoice and we cry when they cry and we're praying over and believing that God's going to do work. And that is so critical to relationship and community, is to have people to lean on. But the idea is this: and in every circumstance of life, it's Christ as a level of my contentment. Church is one of those things that this brings us back into balance. In the chaotic, crazy, busy, go, 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 get, go, get world. You know what? My wife continually pushes one of the top 10, and it's the Sabbath. We were just talking about this yesterday. I mean, she's funny. I got to just share the story. She's great because we're in up Orchard Park and Ethan's playing baseball and they're there today and we're in Tim Hortons. It's just her and I in between games and there's these two young ladies and they've got the Bible open and The one young lady has a dad shirt on, you know, dad dedication, Joshua 24. I'm like, nice dad shirt, young lady. Like, you're wearing a dad shirt. Like, it was just a great moment. And we went over and just sat down with them and just said, hey, man, we're just pastoring a church and it's so exciting. And Renee, I mean, her open is, you know, because they're studying, they're in Bible class. And her open was, what do you think about the Sabbath? I'm like, that's not an open, honey. Like, that's like what? And she says, I mean, it's great because she's serious about that. What happens if you actually come to a place to say, man, I need to take a day of rest? It's one of the top 10. Because I think we live in so crazy, and we just go and we go and we go. And when you do that, eventually you break. And we've lost sight of the reality of the meaning of one of the powerhouse verses of Scripture, Philippians 4:13. For I can do all things through Christ. In my best season, I'm not going to lose focus. I'll be content. And when I'm broken and tragedy strikes and I'm at my lowest, or I lose it all. In every season of life, I can do all things through Christ. Because it's Christ who strengthens me. Yes, we can gain some strength from one another. We are called to build up and encourage, and that strengthens. What happens when you're with our friend Paul, and he's alone in prison, and he says, my strength comes from Christ. And he says, you know what, even and everything that I'm good. I'm good. I'm content. Can you bow your heads this morning as we come into a place? Just close this out. You just come to a place. Can you say, I'm good? Not in a fake Christianese way. I'm fine. Everything's fine. No, everything is just fine. I'm good. And it's just so fake. But in a reality of I can do all things through Christ, because I understand that, because I bought into the truth of that, I can honestly say, yes, I need your help. And man, I'm begging you for encouragement. And I need you to walk with me through this. I'm asking you not to leave me. And man, I need your help in this. But honestly, because Christ is the secret to contentment, because my relationship with Christ is everything to me, I can tell you today, I need you, and I'm begging you to walk with me, and I'm begging you to help me, and I need you to hold my hand, and I need you to walk through this. But honestly, I can tell you, I'm good. I'm content because my hope comes from Him, because my help comes from Him, because I am satisfied, because Christ has strengthened me in my every season. I'm asking you to walk with me. I need you to hold my hand. I need you to build me up. I'm broken. I need you to cry with me. But I can tell you today, because Christ has strengthened me, I'm good. I'm good. I can walk content. Back to a place of balance in our lives, and that we would know what it would take to get to that quiet life. God, know what it would take to just mind our own business. And God, know what it would take to work hard and be content in that. God, know what it would take to have it all and not lose sight of you. Have nothing and be in a place of brokenness and just have a heart that even is at pain. But there's something supernatural, God, in us by your Holy Spirit that lives and reigns and dwells within us, God, that we could come to this place. So even in my pain and even in my brokenness, by the Holy Spirit within me, it's amazing that I can have this peace. Even in the midst of struggle and tragedy, even alone in a prison, I can be at peace. Amen. Father, we love you. We thank you for today. Let this word sit in our spirits as we come back next week to finish this first message out and get into where we're going next week in 1 Timothy. Lord, we love you. Bless this week. In Jesus' name. Come on, amen. Amen, church. Come on, amen. Woo! Love you. You're praying for VBS. It's a big week. We will see you next Sunday, 9 or 11, man. Come on, amen. Awesome.